Can a Republican support Kristi Noem and still be critical of her immigration enforcement tactics? You're listening to SDPB's Dakota Political Junkies. I'm Lori Walsh. Kristi Noem's Department of Homeland Security has publicly accused American citizens of attacking federal agents, calling those citizens domestic terrorists. But many of those people are never charged or convicted of those crimes. And video evidence calls Noem's depiction of the incidents with federal agents into question. Kristi Noem's successor as South Dakota Governor, Larry Roden, says he supports Noem, but his response to her tactics is more nuanced. I talked with journalist Seth Tupper for today's Dakota Political Junkies analysis. Tupper is editor-in-chief of South Dakota Searchlight. I want to go back a little bit to a piece that you published on January 29th, which was about Governor Roden. Essentially, you're arguing, critiquing former Governor Noem's job as Secretary of Homeland Security. At the same time, he was saying she has a hard job and he supports the job. You know, he's supportive of her and he sends her text. Help us understand the predicament that Governor Roden is in, even if he doesn't necessarily see it as a predicament, but as nationwide criticism comes up, what position that puts her former running mate in.
Yeah, I think that he on some level sees it maybe consciously, at least subconsciously, and if he doesn't, I think there are people around him who see it. And we saw it early on when he took over last year and he started talking about resetting everything. He was going to reset the prison debate about building a new prison in Sioux Falls. He was going to reset relationships with tribes, a bunch of other stuff he said he was going to reset. Well, I mean, I wrote about that at the time too, because if you think your governor, your previous boss did such a wonderful job, as he often says, why do you need to reset everything?
That same spirit of openness, I want to extend a renewed hand to the tribes. A couple of weeks ago, Chairman Renville echoed Governor Noem's words. Today, let's reset. Today, let's rebuild. I could not agree more. We've had our ups and downs over the years, but I am asking our tribal leaders to make a fresh start with me.
So that was on my mind again this time when, you know, yet again, he was asked his opinion of something Kristi Noem did in her response to the latest fatal shooting in Minneapolis by federal agents. And he, on the one hand, defended her, but then on the other hand, proceeded to say that, you know, he didn't have anything to say about the shooting because you shouldn't go to a podium and say a bunch of stuff when you don't have all the facts. And
I don't have a comment because I don't know the details. I'm not privy to the details. We know for a fact that he had a loaded firearm with him, whether he was legal or not. I've never heard, you know, when they were saying that before it was even being investigated. So I never got confirmation that wasn't, in fact, the truth. But whether it was or wasn't, there's all kinds of information that I am not aware of. So why would I make a comment basing my opinion with no grounding in fact? And I think that's a big part of the problem that we face in some of these issues, is people jumping to conclusions and then standing their ground and making absurd statements based on conjecture. You owe it, as a public official, you owe it to the public, and you owe it to yourself and your own moral conscience to know for a fact that what you're speaking is the truth before you speak it.
Which a lot of people would say sounded exactly like what Kristi Noem did in the immediate aftermath of the shooting of Alex Preddy. So
he also had no ID. This looks like a situation where an individual arrived at the scene to inflict maximum damage on individuals and to kill law enforcement.
It does put him in a difficult position, I guess, where, I mean, obviously he feels a sense of loyalty to Kristi Noem for choosing him as her running mate. And she did win two elections as governor, so presumably having her endorsement would help him. I don't know. I'd love to see some polling on that now with everything swirling around Kristi Noem and, you know, nationally. But on the other hand, he also clearly sees, and he has admitted at times, you know, his style is a lot different than hers. Mm-hmm. And so I think on some level he must see the drawbacks of being connected to her as well as the pluses. And I don't think he's very successfully figured out how to navigate that yet.
What would he have to do, do you think? What would be successful? Because it seems like he and Lieutenant Governor Van Huysen are sitting in the spot where they're saying she has a really difficult job. That seems to be the spot that they're landing in. Like, I'm not going to criticize her job from a distance. Boy, that is a hard job. Without saying, here's where she's doing a great job, here's where maybe she's falling short. They have an awareness of, you know, her taking orders. We heard her say that she was taking orders from Stephen Miller and the president, and everything she said was, you know, from the White House. So where is a good spot for Governor Roden to land from a communication standpoint regarding Nome?
I think it's tough to say because, again, I don't know, you know, among Republican primary voters, who he obviously needs to win over to in June as he's running for election to keep his job. I don't really know where they're at in relation to Kristi Noem right now. I mean, there's it's such a incredibly complicated, you know, profile that she has among voters in general, but Republican voters who maybe feel that, you know, they liked her as governor and they like her policies, but maybe they don't like her sort of style of stoking outrage, and maybe they don't approve of some of the lengths to which the Department of Homeland Security has gone with immigration enforcement. So I don't know, you know, if he knows or anybody knows how much being affiliated with Kristi Noem could end up helping you or hurting you. So, I don't know. I mean, if I was him, I would probably just say anytime she came up that, you know, I'm really grateful for the opportunity she gave me to be lieutenant governor and appreciative of that. And I don't have much to say about, you know, what's going on nationally because I'm focused on being governor.
Yeah.
I mean,
and we're looking forward.
Seems like that would be an awful simple thing to say.
Yeah. we're looking forward to the future of South Dakota. Yeah.
Right. It would keep him out of trouble. And, you know, I mean, I say that and it sounds hypocritical of me because in the media, you know, if he said that, we'd all say, well, he's dodging the question. And then, you know, when he does answer or try to answer a question, then he gets criticized for how he answers it. So, but, you know, he's the governor that comes with the territory.
Yeah. Let's talk about, and he did mention in his State of the State, Lieutenant Governor Van Huysen mentioned, and then Governor Roden hit home again, this concept of civility going in to the legislative session. And we have already seen, you mentioned Representative Phil Jensen, we've already seen at least two incidents with him that are being held up as outside the rules of the House and the rules of civility. Give us an update of what happened this week so far.
Yeah, and I think it's actually really encouraging, really, to see the response that people in the legislature are trying to uphold a sense of civility in these times that we're in with so many uncivil things happening in politics. But, you know, toward the beginning of the current legislative session, Representative Phil Jensen from Rapid City was reassigned to different committees after he vociferously objected to the seating arrangement in the House Education Committee and alleged that he was basically being marginalized by the committee chairperson and disrupted a committee meeting. So the House Republican leadership reassigned him to different committees. He participated in a House floor debate about a non-binding resolution on encouraging South Dakotans to go to their Lord in prayer. Basically, it was a long resolution, but it dealt with the religion. Mm-hmm. And Representative Jensen made the comment on the House floor. Sorry.
To seek the Lord Most High for his healing presence and mercy.
There you go.
That's the resolution.
And then some.
Yep, go ahead.
It's a long resolution.
Yep.
It was like a couple pages long. But he was speaking on that in the House floor, and there was a, you know, a pretty healthy debate on the House floor, and he made a comment to the effect that you know, he was surprised they were even having to debate that because it was such a no-brainer to approve it. And he said that I'll get the quote wrong, but basically something to the effect that only, you know, that only Democrats would vote against something like that. And there was immediate audible objection to that comment in the House chamber. Representative Caden Whitman, a Democrat from Sioux Falls, lodged a complaint. The House Speaker, John Hansen, ruled the comment out of order.
And I would venture to say the only ones that are going to be voting red up there are going to be Democrats. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative, that's out of order, Representative.
And the debate moved on, and the resolution passed, and every Democrat did vote against it, but so did 18 Republicans. And so that went down, and you fast forward a week, and Representative Phil Jensen is part of the Freedom Caucus, which is a subset of Republicans. And he put out a press release saying that he'd been removed from the House Republican caucus, which is just basically the meeting that they have every day to among the Republican members to discuss strategy and bills, et cetera. And then Majority Leader Scott Odenbach, did confirm that suspension from the caucus is for 2 weeks. So
what is wrong? You know, what is wrong with what he said according to the rules of the House?
Basically, just decorum, as I understand it. You know, there are rules that members should maintain decorum, which would include not making personal attacks, against other members, would be my understanding of it. And in South Dakota, in the South Dakota legislature, I think they've been sticklers about that. We've seen that over the years. It's quite frequently, if somebody engages in name calling or something untoward during a committee meeting or a floor debate, they are swatted down pretty quickly, verbally, and swift action is taken. And there's disagreement in the House. The Democrats, of course, would like to see Representative Jensen formally censured, which doesn't appear that it's going to happen. But I do think, like I said, that it's encouraging that when some things like this are happening, there are leaders getting involved and saying we need to maintain a sense of decorum, civility, and whatever method they're choosing to enforce that, it is somewhat encouraging that something is being done.
There was a comment on Tuesday where a lawmaker in debate used a fellow lawmaker's name, and Speaker Hansen said, "Here's a reminder: we don't, call each other by name, even if it's nice, even if it's a compliment."
Right, right.
So you'll consistently hear this, coming back to the rules of order in all regards. To your point, civility. Meanwhile, property taxes, other big issues that you've got your eyes on, are these moving forward in an orderly manner, or do we feel like we're derailed by some of these other topics, which are not necessarily the key topics of legislation and policy this year?
I think there has been a little bit of a derailment. I was just sitting in the House press box talking to the clerks who were talking about the light calendars that there have been in the chambers and their expectations that there would be more bills coming through and fuller calendars by this time. And they were getting a little worried that, that there's going to be some punishment for that later in some very long days when bills finally do start moving. So I think there has been a little bit of a derailment, if you want to call it that, on some of these issues. I also don't know if that's maybe just because maybe committees have been defeating more bills this year. I haven't run any numbers on that, but that could be a factor as well. The property tax stuff really hasn't really got off the ground yet. There have been a few minor bills that have seen consideration kind of nibbling around the edges of the property tax issue, but the big bills dealing with, is the state going to use sales taxes to, give people property tax relief, or is the state going to, capture a certain amount of revenue that the state has and use that for those bigger bills, have all yet to come. So that'll be quite a log jam when that happens. We had a story from Mackenzie Heber over the weekend. I think the number was at least 28 property tax bills and counting have been filed so far.
Plus, we still have big conversations to have about what the reserves should be, the budget reserves, and all kinds of, and the funding that the governor set aside and said, this is for lawmakers to decide how they want to spend. A lot of speculation about whether they would move that to school districts into the big three. There's a lot to be discussed.
Yeah, school funding, big issue that's out there with certain legislators like to use that in debates a lot. Governor Roden proposed flat funding for schools this year. I've heard that come up numerous times in committee meetings and on floor debates where a legislator will say, we can find money for this, but we can't fund schools, huh? And so that's a big debate that's going to be held too. I'm sure that as more numbers come in with revenue and things like that, any extra spare revenue that's lying around, I expect there'll be a big fight over whether that should be directed towards schools.
That's Seth Tupper, editor-in-chief of South Dakota Searchlight. You can find him at southdakotasearchlight.com and check out their new podcast for another dose of weekly news coming from right here in South Dakota. That's our conversation for today. We hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.